This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom, and we've got Derry, New Hampshire's own Will Mercier. Will, how are you today, my friend, even though we've been talking here for the better part of, what are we at, about half an hour already?
Like, it's only been like 15 minutes. It was a late, once we all got like settled in, whatever.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm all right. I read possibly my best single issue of a comic of the year this morning, so I'm riding through that, and I'm ready to talk some Ring of Honor wrestling. But how are things out in the Midwest?
Good. Let's see. I worked late at the stadium last night / this morning, so I'm a little sore and can never go to bed. So
listen, I know those running sausages really put you through the ringer, Tom.
I mean, last night wasn't so bad, but yeah, this point because I texted our good friend Graham too, because I was listening to his him and his son's podcast while I was working with the sausages. So yeah, they're in like one of our warehouses, and sometimes they just get in the way. Goddamn, those motherfuckers stink.
Well, I'm sure they're sweat retainers at this point.
Yeah, they just have like cases of Lysol that they just
Also, it's just perfume sweat.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't
know. No, they don't got the budget for new sausages, huh?
I don't know. So
maybe they end up just getting rid of the sausages, and they just become like a CG sausage they put up on the screen running the race, and not people in the get-ups.
Yeah, I hope not. So, but I don't know, Will. Maybe break down the fourth wall. Actually, next week we'll be hanging out in person, looking at fishes. Maybe
glub, yeah,
doing some other various shit. So it's gonna be a good time. And real quick, I do want to shout out, obviously, my good friend in the real life, Josh, my co-host at Going Underground. As this drops, his birthday will be the day after. So happy birthday, Josh! So I'm lucky. My co-host Josh is born on Star Wars Day, and you're born on my anniversary. So I have very easy birthdays to remember.
What's all about?
So it's all about making my life easier. So, yeah, Will, how are you though? So it's getting stoked for your trip.
I'll be excited when I'm on the ground.
Good.
We're in the preparation, finding the passports again that we just found, and I put them somewhere safe. Now we got to find them again.
Yeah.
Start buying all the little stuff, because Brittany is much more the having all the travel accoutrements. We're just like, do you have a toothbrush holder? It's like, I don't. I just put it in a bag.
That's funny. Faith and I are both that way. I mean, I think I've said this before, but yeah, I mean, yeah, Faith and I travel well. Unless that was really the final curtain before I knew it was going to drop the question.
He tested me well.
Yeah, I'm like, we have to go on vacation just to make sure. So
I showed up in Milwaukee to visit for a week.
You did.
And I brought a carry-on. And he's like, let's go get your checked luggage. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
See, that's the goal. When we went to Myrtle Beach a couple years ago with my dad's family, we saw a couple of my dad works at the high school I went to. Saw a couple of the faculty that used to work there. They moved down there later, and they're at the point they said they only travel with a carry-on. They don't check anything, and it's made life so much easier. And I'm like, damn, that's the move.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, because you can buy stuff when you get here. I mean, it's always the liquids are always the hard part.
Good job, Smokus. She had like 2/3 of that ham, so I'm trying.
Yeah. All right, pack a couple pairs of slacks, maybe one pair of pants, one pair of shorts, a couple t-shirts, clean socks and underwear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, after backpacking across South America a couple times, I mean, I just lived out of my backpack.
Yeah, probably had to burn that backpack when you were done.
No, pretty cool. Yeah, I remember I was stuck in customs in Miami, and they were going through my because I actually had a laundry bag. You know, I told them, I'm like, I wouldn't open that for you. They were like, why? And they opened it up. I'm like,
I've been backpacking and have not been to a laundromat.
Yeah, I mean, but anyways, we should probably keep it kind of short as we got a lot to cover. And it's a little late here.
I feel like we do and we don't, because I feel like this was a pretty pretty concise episode of Ring of Honor Television.
It was short, compact.
Two matches.
Stellar matches. But I mean, listen, we'll kind of get into it too. But I mean, spoiler alert. I mean, they didn't really obviously address this on TV. But this is Tommaso Ciampa's last appearance in Ring of Honor. Will, and like I said, he was already
we sealed the deal with obviously the end of the show, and the crowd obviously knew.
Yeah.
Post-match chanting the, you know, please don't go, please don't go.
And so we'll definitely dig it. But I mean,
do we want to just get into like some in memoriam of Tommaso Ciampa stuff now?
I think we'll do it afterwards.
I don't know if we wanted to open with that and then segue into Shining Wizards Brundo's question of Dishonor.
No, we'll kind of go over Eric and Rob's questions, because I mean, as always, Rob, a shout out to Rob. Oh,
he wants Brundo to listen for a couple minutes. He's got the stats down. He knows how long he's got to get Brundo to stay on the episode for us to get a listen.
Rob's pretty is a day oneer with us, like Brundon. So Rob, I know we've been saying this for 2 or 3 years. We're gonna get you on the fucking podcast one of these goddamn days.
I do appreciate that. I know I don't look at the numbers. I don't know how many like plays or whatever we have, but we have like dedicated day one-ish listeners. So
yeah, I mean, if I'm not, I mean, there weren't so many questions, but I'm pretty sure
Rob, that's the thing we know, right? Is like, you know, Scott George, you know, chats up about the pod a little bit in the Wizards Discord every now and then. You know, I mean, you know, Rob listens because he links every question he asks to something that's mentioned in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes,
I'm still thinking about that marathon bar. Not going to lie. It's in my dreams.
Yeah, I mean, so whether this is your first episode or if you've been down since day one, like Rob and Brundon, we do appreciate any listens. Obviously, any feedback is always more than welcome. And just make sure, I mean, and Rob's podcasts are always a good time too. So, I mean, they're always, you know, doing different kind of shit. So we'll get you on here one of these days, Rob, you know, and make sure you're following Brundon, you know, on the Shining Wizards every week. You know, unless we got Bauerhausen, we got Freed's, Josh, you know, obviously I mentioned Josh earlier, but Josh listens to every episode. He always sends me little quips, you know, as he's listening. So it's always kind of fun. So we're in pretty good company, Willis. And we're very fortunate not to suck our own dicks or anything, but to have, you know, obviously, with Visionaries Global Media since day one, and Wizards, I mean, about a, you know, a year in, reaching out and say, hey, you want to join? I'm like, they take very good care of us, so.
I hope Josh goes to bed every night knowing that he's the better co-host for Milwaukee Tom.
Well, you know, I would just say different. I mean, it would mean, because that dynamic is so much different because we're recording in person. You know, so, I mean, but.
Someday, you know, once we got like that Blue Chew money, we got the Manscaped money.
That Liquid Death money.
Get some of that Liquid Death money. Yeah. I almost grabbed one yesterday. We don't have any in the coolers though. So it's like, They've got all the, like the new ones. So it's like, I don't want to wait for it. Cause it's not like a Mountain Dew, right? Like I'll crush Mountain Dew at room temp. Cause that's what I'm just used to. There not really being room in the fridge. So I just crack open a room temp Mountain Dew. That's what everybody's like. Something like that. It's gotta be cold. Seltzer water's gotta be cold.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Liquid Death and Josh actually bought me one of the new blueberry teas from Liquid Death. So, and Liquid Death is an official sponsor. I was looking at it last night while I was peeing at the stadium. They're an official sponsor of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're getting fucking huge.
That's pretty dope.
You know, I've seen, you know, getting that Mattel.
Does that mean we're going to start getting some Brewers wear that has like the Liquid Death like logo on it?
That'd be cool. I don't buy a lot of Brewer stuff, but I would definitely
get a jersey, get a one of those button up baseball jersey style things that says High Five Tom in the back with a big Liquid Death logo on it.
That'd be dope. Should totally do that. Maybe something bearing a Oreo.
Ooh,
one
little Hydrox cookie action.
They're vegan,
so you can have me one Oreo.
The Oreos are vegan.
You can't just eat one Oreo.
You probably should only eat one Oreo, but
yeah, that's true. But all right, well, the aforementioned Rob list, and make sure you're listening.
Do you want it?
Yes,
I'll take it back.
No. Let's dive into Rob's question. And by dive, I mean literally. This is going to be. We're going hard in the paint.
My age was shown a little bit on here. I didn't. I only knew the new movie they made. I didn't realize there was a TV show. What a catchy little tune, though.
70s were a wild time, my friend. We're a Fall Guy movie, huh?
Came out in the last couple of years. Got Ryan Gosling in it. Where he plays a stunt man who becomes an action, like in real life action.
Oh, character. Yeah. Okay. With Emily. Okay. With Emily Blunt.
So, at UTT Rob, hit us up with I won't call it a two parter, but maybe like a one and a half parter here. Cause we have like a bonus. So question of dishonor with all the talk of Robert Redford, 171. Tom's a big Rob Redford guy.
Yeah,
cousin double R for short.
Oh, Emily Blunt's in that new Rock movie about Mark Kerr, the UFC guy. Did you see the trailer for that shit?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's an A24 movie, so I'm sure it's going to be great. But
that'll
at least look really good.
Yeah. Okay.
So Redford is mentioned in the theme to The Fall Guy. WWF did a Sally Field tribute gimmick with the Flying Nuns. Each of us repackaged one 2015 Ring of Honor star and a character played by someone mentioned in the theme.
Character.
I'm gonna sweep the rug out of Tom. I'm gonna pick Tommaso Ciampa as Dirty Harry.
Ooh, nice. Well played, Will. Oh, that'd be, dude. I think we have another $5,000 idea.
Or it could be Mark Briscoe as Smokey and the Bandit.
That's kind of where I was going.
Thinking, again, my age. Like, I recognize a lot of these names, but I don't necessarily know the oeuvre. Like, I know who Burt Reynolds is.
Right.
Like, when I think of a Burt Reynolds movie, I think about The Longest Yard, but not The Longest Yard where he was the main character. I think about the Adam Sandler Longest Yard where
that movie is really good.
He's old Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, that movie. Who could be God, what was his name in Boogie Nights?
I mean, if we're talking Boogie Nights, it'd have to be Matt Taven, right?
Oh, goddamn, Will, you're crushing this fucking question.
I'm flexing in my Matt Seidel shirt right now. It's not really a Matt Seidel shirt. It's got floral print on it, though. So I always, whenever I throw it on, I put on the theme when I'm buttoning it up.
Yeah, but he shouts all Raquel Welch, Cheryl Teagues, Bo Derek, Farrah Fawcett, Sally Field.
That's a murderer's row of teenage boy posters, you know what I'm saying, Tom?
Yeah. Robert Redford. All right. Trying to think, I mean, Robert Redford. Well, I mentioned, you probably have never seen The Sting, huh?
I have not. I know the name, but I've never seen it.
Or Butch, it's really good. Unless you can dig in the archives, me and name drop here, friend of the show, Rep Perch, did an awesome dive on The Sting, by the way. So Robert Redford, might do Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid or The Sting? I'm going Butch from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Robert Redford. Who's going to play Robert Redford's character in the Sundance? Butch Cassidy. Oh, man. No Mark Briscoe. I'm going Steve Carino plays Butch and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
I took it up to confirm, but the only Robert Redford I knew growing up was from the lyrics of Hey Leonardo by Blessed Union of Souls.
Wow, that's a deep.
You know what song I'm talking about, right?
A little bit, vaguely, yeah.
She likes me for me. With the charm of Robert Redford oozing out my ears.
Then there's Robert Redford, and The Last Castle is really good. If you ever see that movie with him and James Gandolfini,
I haven't heard of that one.
That's really good. I think it's called The Last Castle. Like, he's a military general that gets like arrested for being naughty, so it's like a military prison. And James Gandolfini's like the quarter, like the armchair colonel kind of guy. And
is it as good as The Tooth Fairy starring Dwayne Johnson? Or no? Right, yeah, Dwayne Johnson was the Tooth Fairy. It's hard because him and Vin Diesel both started doing like the family comedies like at the same time.
Yeah, it's way better than that. So, yeah,
Better than that. He says,
yeah, Last Castle is pretty heavy. So it's very very influenced by Cool Hand Luke, for sure. Now that I think about it, so I haven't watched that movie in forever. I wonder where I can watch that. So,
but we Cool Hand Luke, Hot Fist Lucas.
Wow, Will, you're on fire.
I'm funny. I don't care what Brittany says. I'm funny.
You are. That is a documented fact. So, So
she's just a prime example of all the memes where it's like you think it'd be great to be with somebody funny until you're the target of all the jokes.
I don't know. I think you're funny, Will. My wife is always also very funny, so that helps. So we had an addendum to Rob's question, though, huh?
Yes. So bonus points. Lee Majors wrote and performed the theme for the Fall Guy TV show. So who, for a bonus point, is going to write and record and perform the Ring of Honor Wrestling theme song?
And I always assumed Rob, you know, I wonder if Rob's more my age. I always kind of assumed Rob was younger, closer to your age. But
some people are like deeply in tune with
pop culture in general.
The pop culture, like some people are like big movie people. It's like, I like movies, but like, I'm not like, I'm going to sit down and like watch all of this person's movies or like, it's probably why I'm not good at anything else I do because. Feeling like you gotta be a student of the game and like if you're into movies, you gotta go watch a ton of movies. If you wanna write whatever, you gotta go read a lot of whatever. And it's like you wanted to be a wrestler, you gotta go back. It's like, Nah, if it already happened, I missed it. Moving on. You got to keep up.
Yeah. All right. And once in a while, Josh is getting a lot of love for this episode. But yeah, Last Castle on Pluto, which Josh hooked me up with. So
on Pluto, damn, Mickey's Dogs are streaming now, too. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, in I lost my train of thought. Surprise, surprise.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, like it's, what was I going to say? Oh, Lee Majors, I mean, like you said, I mean, I was pretty young, you know, so we had...
You said he was he was the hottest thing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the Fall Guy, T.J. Hooker. I think he was a T.J. Hooker. He was Perry. You ever see the movie Scrooged?
No.
My second favorite Christmas movie. You're a Bill Murray guy, right? I mean, you don't hate...
I like Bill Murray.
I would definitely check out...
There's a lot of big Bill Murray movies I have not seen, though. But I do like Bill Murray.
Yeah, Scrooge is really good. It's definitely... It's kind of one of our new Christmas favorites. Like I said, definitely my second favorite Christmas movie. But yeah, I mean, Lee Majors was hot shit. But they do like a little commercial thing in the front. And like, yeah, Lee Majors is like saving Santa Claus and like shooting terrorists and stuff like that. So it's pretty funny. All right.
Who's going to write, record, and perform a theme song for 2015 Ring of Honor?
I mean, there's really...
Is it too easy of an answer to say Jimmy Jacobs? Because I don't know if anybody else on this roster has any musical talent. Actually, that's not true. Kazarian and Daniels, I think, play.
Oh, The Addiction? Yo. Yo. Man, we got two $5,000 ideas this year today.
Nothing will ever top One Man Shakespeare in the Park by Mark Briscoe.
Oh, but that is legitimately, like, I don't know how I can will that into the universe. Yeah, that is legitimately, nothing will ever top that, Will, but.
Right, that was early on in the show. That's a bummer that I peaked so early.
Nah. Good pull, Will. Damn. All right. See, that's why you're the creative one of this group, so. It's like face the creative type in our relationship, so. She's doing so good with her Dungeons and Dragons. Aw. Hi, Sunshine. All right. I probably shouldn't have said that on the podcast, but...
Whatever. It's your podcast. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, but I mean, The Addiction. Spot on. Kind of, yeah.
I mean, probably shouldn't call them The Addiction anymore, right? They're the Knights of the... Red Dawn.
I'm still going to call them Asian Dawn, so...
Tom, none of them are Asian. None of the three of those fellas are Asian.
See, I wonder if the people in the movie Die Hard, those were Asian. I don't think any of them were Asian either. Maybe I should look that up. So it's a good thing we got the Google machine here. But yeah, at least as always, day one, or Rob, we gotta get some synergy going on here. We'll have to figure something out here one of these fucking days. So,
all right, moving on to Freed's question, so you can drag Brendan's ear a little further.
Yeah.
So Freed's question that we're up to is, we got to pick a literary, adjust the word. So what a literary character to wrestle 2015 Ring of Honor.
So the movie or comic book character?
I think the wording was specifically for four books, but let me pull it up to confirm. It says, which book characters you have wrestled?
Liberate, and this is going to get me a lot of trouble. So, by the way, the Asian Dawn referenced in, they're actually in Sri Lanka. They're inspired by the Liberation Tigers of Tella Elmin, was a Tamale militant organization that was based in northern and eastern Sri Lanka.
I didn't realize Sri Lanka was big enough to have northern and eastern portions.
Yeah, so.
when I think of Sri Lanka, I think of it as being like one of the itty bitty ones.
The Sri Lankan Civil War.
Shouts out to our listeners in Sri Lanka.
Yeah. That's what it looks like some Freeds would be right up to. So speaking of Freeds, movie characters and Connor.
What characters? What characters?
God damn
time. What character? Wrestling 2015.
So many fucking book characters. Jesus. Do I do one of my favorite books? I mean, Pennywise could be, you know, the Knights of the Red Dawn. No.
Very scary.
I got to pick a book first. Fuck it. Shout out to Brundin. This is one of his favorite books. And 1984 is one of your favorite books, right, Will?
Never read it.
No, that's not one of your favorite books. You should read it. Like tomorrow. Changed my life. I'm not even exaggerating. They got to pick up that graphic novel. That's pretty intense. All right. Winston Smith, 1984. The main protagonist. I mean, I think Truth Martini would be funny as a fucking big brother, but. No. Winston Smith's kind of a pussy. Oh, fuck. I'm going with Winston Smith. And Winston Smith is going to be. R.D. Evans. Shout out to R.D. Evans. I know the streak's over.
Yeah, so you just have to pick characters to be wrestlers. They don't have to necessarily like be iterations of the wrestlers you have. If you wanted to see.
All right, fair enough. Like Pennywise is like an under, yeah, fuck, I'm going to go Pennywise like as an Undertaker character. Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't bite the face off of like children in the front row. I mean, it's not as bad as running them over with an ATV, but.
But could give him a Rude Boy Riley treatment, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. Some synergy from the main show on Monday nights.
Yeah, no shit. Well, what do you got for Freeds?
Oh. I recommend, because a lot of the books I like to read, the characters are not people you think would necessarily fare well in like a wrestling environment or any kind of like hand-to-hand physical combat type stuff. The last novel I read is a bunch of people that all work in like an office building. So there was nobody that's really like jumping out of me as like, they could square up in the squared circle.
Yeah.
So I will pick. It would be cheating to pick an actual wrestler because I've read plenty of books that have wrestlers in it.
Yeah.
So I will pick just pull up the name.
Yeah, because actually, so Conor Monte Cristo, Edmond Dantes, I could see him being a badass wrestler. I mean, obviously, he escaped prison after being wrongly incarcerated, then enacted revenge on everybody. So I'm going to switch my answer. Conor Monte Cristo, it's in the 2B Red book. Oh, Will, you get to see the 2B Red book Milk Crate in person.
Hot diggity dog. So I'm going to pick, where's this fucker's name? I don't want to say the guy, but it's like, what's the fucking guy's name? Ah, that's right. He doesn't have a name. Tom from Parts Unknown. And the Great White North. I'm picking the man in the red sweater from Call of the Wild.
No shit.
I bet you he could throw down Abe Lincoln style.
Yeah. Good call, Will. I like your thinking. So shout out to Freeds. Plus, I know
it's hard. A lot of the stuff that I read, it's more like more like cyberpunky sci-fi stuff where it's like they're not necessarily like, I don't know if like a like an actual like physical altercation, but you know, the man in the red sweater, right? Him and Buck squaring up with the elements.
Yeah, that's a good pull.
Yeah, that's not as I have the book, but I have to reread. I mean, I haven't read that since I was a kid, so.
Right, a book they give children to read.
Yeah,
a little suspicious.
The recent movie that came out, that was 5-6 years ago already.
2020, I think it just said. The Call of the Wild movie came out.
I think it was right by, yeah, like right before the pandemic. I think because we went and saw that in the movie theater.
February 21st,
my mom's birthday. That would have been my mom's 79th birthday. Shout out to my mom. As we record this, my mom will
actually... That's a Harrison Ford vehicle.
Yeah, it's really good. Shout out to my mom. So actually, as this drops, she will be in Tuscany.
Ooh.
Mom's finally realizing a lifelong dream to go down to Italy and visit Tuscany for 10 days. So we are very...
Good for her.
Which stinks because you won't get to meet Mom the Bomb. But we'll see her house. I mean, she lives 4 blocks away from us, so... But, and Brendan, we're not doing this just to fuck with you. We will put your question Dishonor kind of along our Ring of Honor, TV episode, but,
don't listen to him, Brendan. He's lying to you.
But will any shout outs here before,
we're a little tight on time today, so we got to tighten that belt and get to it.
Real quick, just want to shout out everyone on Visionary School of Media, obviously. Graham and Eric right now just putting out fucking content. Like it's going out of fucking style, so that's good.
I want to take a moment to say fuck Eric Freed's sharing all the cool shit happening at his comic book store. That's way too far away for me to go to.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, they're having a pretty heavy fucking free comic book day at his place. So shout out to all your local comic book shops.
The day this episode comes out, it'll be free comic book day.
Yeah. And then we do have a Going Underground. It's going to be a big 3-parter epic for our Ultima Lucha. So just stay tuned for that. But shout out to everybody at Shining Wizards. I was texting Matt last night, just forever fuck the House of Torture. But yeah, and shout out to Phil, just because without Phil, we may not have ever met Will. So he is the linchpin of our relationship. So So everyone, enjoy this commercial break, and we'll see everybody on the other side of the break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com. And join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag Join the Mark Order. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Get G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, so make sure you follow everybody there in the Shining Wizards Network. All great shows. The flagship, Duke and Rogue, obviously. 30 Screams or Less. Hopefully we'll have them on this podcast someday. Too bad this is only audio.
Yeah. Keep your eyes to yourself, buddy.
But Ring of Honor TV episode, May 2nd, 2015. And I'm just going to spoil alert here real quick. I know we're going to go over the episode, but there's only two matches, Will, but they were two great fucking matches. As we alluded to last week, the Killer Elite Squad, yes. Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith versus War Machine. A very decorated Killer Elite Squad. I forgot how fuck they had a lot of fucking belts.
Yep, and look at Lance Archer now. I really wanted to post them. I didn't want to catch any heat. I really wanted to post Lance Archer in 2015 Ring of Honor is woke. Lance Archer in 2025 Ring of Honor is broke.
Yeah. Some big boys in this match, Will.
They're both teams are – all the competitors are over 250 pounds.
1,074 pounds.
You could tell, too, when they hit those ropes – You heard all the metal pieces clanging when they.
Yeah, it was. They were. Oh, man. Shout out to Suzuki right away. That was really cool. I wonder. Oh, wait. Suzuki's made a couple appearances in Ring of Honor, but I think it's not our Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Wasn't he
TV champ?
15 minutes?
He won it off Rhett Titus.
Well, no offense to Rhett, but I mean, and kind of like Will alluded to, Carino says Archer is underrated. That sure as shit has not changed. There's one spot.
I'll have to try to find it and I'll post it on our Twitter page. There's a really great short film they made about Lance Archer years ago.
Okay.
Years and years and years ago. And it was really cool to watch. I'd have to look to see if it's even like up on the internet still. Cause I don't remember what the hosting site was. I don't know if I could get it on YouTube. Cause I think I watched it through a website. But Lance Archer, what a guy, what a beast.
Yeah. I mean, there's that one spot where Davey Boy Smith's in the corner and I think it's Roll, I think hits him. Like you said, like you mentioned, you could just hear the ring. Just
there's a lot of beef in that ring.
Yeah, Davey Boy Smith Jr. I mean, I don't know much about him as I should, but he looked really good in this match. I mean, he's got a lot of accolades. You know, Killer Elite Squad beat TMDK for those NOAH belts. You know, that was a lot of fun. You know, and I would say at one point, War Machine has the match won, but Ugin pulls Turner out. You know, after basically about 15 minutes of just a brawl, Turner throws out the match. Great. I mean, I don't have a lot of notes besides that, but just a great fucking match, and all four of these dudes shined. And I'm pretty sure, obviously, these two will meet again, probably not in Ring of Honor. But, so, I mean, I know War Machine's got a huge run in Japan, but yeah, because Killer Elite Squad, they got like two or three belts in this match.
Yeah, they mentioned, you know, they're big in they've done NOAH, right? Because they're GHC champs and Killer Elite Squad. I mean, it's a shame that neither one of them are really doing a whole lot of anything right now.
Because Davey Boy's
he's an MLW and All Japan.
Okay, actually looked it up last.
So time. I mean, I guess he's not doing nothing. It's just that he's not kind of out there as much.
Yeah, well, he's doing more than Lance. Let's see. Let's look at Lance Archer's cage match for 2025. I wonder if there's even a spot for that. He's so good. I was at a Warrior Wrestling show. That's when they were doing on the football field, and he like went into the crowd. He was fighting. I think it was Frank the Clown. But yeah, he just totally like somebody had like one of those styrofoam containers, just walked up and literally just kicked this dude's cooler. And he went back and actually bought the guy a new cooler and everything. So it was pretty funny. Wow, his total rating in cage match is only 6.17. He's 48 years old. He's been around a long fucking time.
Yeah.
He's older than I am. I didn't think that was possible. Hey, Will?
I mean, there's got to be somebody, right?
Well, yeah, go figure. Well, he beat Crowbar. Oh, shit. Crowbar was on Ring of Honor.
Recently, yeah.
Oh.
Old Devin Storm.
Yeah, so it's all AEW. Part of the Don Callis family. So he's had 13 matches this year, so. That's right, because he was teamed up with Brian Cage. That's actually a pretty fucking formidable team. Yeah, because Brian Keith's with the Don Callis family, so. Shout out to Lance Archer, but Will, I mean, this match just ruled. It was awesome.
It's what you thought you were going to get, right? You weren't expecting a technical masterpiece.
I texted Will. I'm like, yeah, that tag match was not a specialty in technical wrestling, but.
Well, he initially said dog match, and I was like, what dog match are you talking about?
Did I say dog match?
Yeah, that's why I said dog match question.
Oh, shit. That fucking phone. Okay, my bad.
Not the dog. It wasn't the dogs. I didn't know if it was like you were thinking G-O-D and it just like corrected it to dog.
No, my bad. So, but after that, real quick, we've got a replay of the Asian Dawn reveal. You know, as the crowd went mild for Saban.
Is it just because it was hard to tell, like with the way the venue is? So it's like, unless you're in like that front row, you're not going to get like a good look at who the hell it actually was.
Yeah.
And he just looks like white male number 3.
Yeah. So, but more on that coming up. But we're at the 22-minute episode of this, or 22 minutes of this episode, and Lethal comes out the curtain. So I was like, wow, they're giving these fuckers some time.
Yeah. I was surprised.
Yeah. And just to go over the match here real quick, and then we'll kind of dive into our thank you, Ciampa.
Yes, for the TV title, Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah.
No, TV champion, the Ring of Honor champion.
You know, Ciampa, obviously Lethal beat Ciampa a little over a year ago. But Lethal was also in the ring when Ciampa fucked up his knee. He was out for forever. But real quick to go over the match, there's a spot where Ciampa like took a backdrop and like fake being hurt. And then like stood up and then laid back down and then got the roll up. I really like that. I've never seen that before. Martini got on the apron, Ciampa slides between his legs. Ciampa just beating Lethal pillar to post. You got that quick snap Project Ciampa on the floor. You know, and then at the end of the match, Todd kicks out Truth and Dijak. We get a nut shot, Lethal Injection, ends a great, great match. So many spots in this match. These two have really great chemistry. And we'll obviously allude to it here, but, you know, Ciampa had mentioned that, you know, him and Lethal were great dance partners. He said he always really enjoyed working with Jay Lethal, and it fucking showed. So it was really cool that he got this as his final match. We get a thank you, Ciampa chant. And Ciampa gives his friend in the real life, Todd Sinclair, the Bobby Cruz treatment.
Well, this is another memory. I didn't watch this episode. I think I might have caught maybe one of the next episodes, because I remember seeing like the recap of like Ciampa doing that. But yeah, so I think Ciampa's at a Ring of Honor, right, Tom? There's still that zero tolerance policy.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, obviously this is a good way how they wrote Ciampa off. You know, we got a please don't go chant even after that. You know, we got a thank you Ciampa chant. So, yeah, like I said, we're just kind of going over this briefly because we got a little bit to cover here with Ciampa. I got to say,
I always thought of Ciampa as a Ring of Honor guy.
Really?
Because I knew him from Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Initially, right? I didn't see a lot of it because most stuff I would have seen from him kind of was later. But after kind of watching his whole time in Ring of Honor, you know, you kind of touched on it with the Lillian Garcia interview where it was kind of touch and go, start and stop. Like, he never really had a chance to really get built up that much.
Wow.
Gets hurt a lot.
You know, I mean, he did have a TV championship run, which is good. At least he got that.
Remember, he was the dominant male?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, before we get into all that real quick, what are you doing, Chico? Let's do Brendan's question in dishonor, because obviously it leads right in here. I don't know where my phone is. Do you have it, Will?
I got it.
Thanks, Will. But shout out to Brendan. We did not do yours this late on purpose, Brendan, just kind of how it worked out. But, dude, I mean, shout out to Brendan because he, like, snapped. I mean, told him what we're doing for Ciampa, and he snapped up this question level at 15 seconds.
He said, this week, would Ciampa have had a better run in Ring of Honor if he was tagged with Johnny Gargano?
Yes.
His response or his elaboration being, you look at them in NXT, they're great together and against each other. While he had a hell of a run, they could have been like a re-dragon. And we mentioned last week that Bobby Fish really helped push Kyle over the top. Imagine Gargano would possibly do the same. It's hard to say though, right? The knee puts him out. The neck or the shoulder puts him out. I think a big part of it is just he had really shitty timing for getting hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure that world title match, right? He fucks something up mad early in the match. And it's like,
yeah,
it's hard, right? Cause you don't want to hitch the horse to the guy if he's going to be hurt all the time.
Yeah.
But he never really made it to that point where I felt like he never felt like a top guy for me in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Like I thought we would see him be. Because again, just kind of like where I thought about him to where he showed up in NXT. I'm like, ooh, Tommaso Ciampa, love that guy. Like,
yeah. And like I said, I mean, and Brendan mentioned it, but I mean, can you imagine a fucking DIY versus Red Dragon fucking program? Especially at this time. I mean, obviously Gargano and Ciampa didn't really know each other that well at this point. That would have been a lot of fun. You know, so just listen, like Will mentioned, so I finally did find the Lillian Garcia interview. I did show it in the link notes. It's probably the best podcast I've heard from Ciampa. Just when I thought I couldn't love this guy anymore. Obviously, you know, claiming to be from Milwaukee, Wisconsin is always a lot of fun. But I guess in OVW, one of the biggest things he heard is Kevin Kelly, ironically enough, had mentioned to Ciampa when they were both kind of doing the OVW circuit, just make yourself undeniable. You know, because Ciampa had that little spurt where he wasn't signed with WWE, but I mean, he had a spot with The Undertaker. You know, and they didn't sign him at that point, but he was still pretty young. You know, and then after this, you know, well, I guess Ciampa is his godmother's last name. So it's kind of a shout out to, it's a family name, but not his. So that's good. But yeah, after this, so basically, Joe Koff was only going to offer him $20,000. Joe Koff told him, like, you know, no one else is going to give you a better deal. He's like, well, I want to dedicate myself to this full time, but you know, I don't want to quit working full time. So he's just like, I'm out, you know? And, his tryout with WWE at this point did not pan out because he had a tryout shortly after this. And then I guess him and his wife did a big deep down, you know, discussion and said, well, let's give it a year. And I think he got signed within 3-4 months after that. But yeah, he's off to Progress. You know, we can hear about all of Ciampa's exploits and Progress on the Apron Bump. Shout out to Kyle.
Sure can.
But also had a really great run in our weekly AAW show where Ciampa actually has a banner up. I know there's a couple of Ciampa Silas matches out there that are just fucking bananas. But Will, you know, Ciampa and Todd Sinclair actually worked a lot together at Chaotic.
Did when I was the first Chaotic show I went to, Tommaso Ciampa was supposed to be there. This was when he was in NXT, but he had just broken his neck or whatever, so he didn't attend. So Hansen made a return instead.
Wow. I mean,
or Ivar, whatever his War Raider's name is.
Yeah, but I mean, we had mentioned the start and stop of Ring of Honor, and you know, because I guess because Cornette hired him for his promos, because I guess promos are really made him stick out. But then when they booked him, they never let him talk. Obviously, he had four managers. You know, he's with the Embassy, so he had Prince Nana. He had fucking Mia Yim. He had fucking Artie Evans. There's one other person, which is funny because I mean, Ciampa just oozes charisma. But then it's funny His best pops ever was actually when he didn't say anything, when he was doing that black heart thing when he first came back. Just fucking, he'd just come out there and just people would boo the shit out.
No song, there's booing. It was so good.
It was amazing.
He won that last man standing match because Gargano handcuffed him.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the thing that helped him save him and win the match.
Yeah. And then, I guess, obviously, like we had mentioned, he wanted to be, I mean, he said he would have stuck in Ring of Honor for another 10 years if they would have given him an exclusive contract. He says he really wanted to stay, but then the straw that broke the camel's back because they had him and Jay had that legendary match in Europe. And then it was supposed to be in the main event in Vegas. It was supposed to be just Jay and Ciampa. And then they booked the four-way, and Ciampa's like, well, I guess that's my sign, so... but one other really thing I really want to shout out in the interview too is obviously you don't want to burn any bridges. But this is also around the time where Samoa Joe was leaving Impact. So we went back and looked at a bunch of Samoa Joe's like tweets and stuff like that to kind of feel out how you should handle this. Because as the crowd knows he's leaving.
Yeah.
He knows he's leaving. You know, they do the gimmick before he beats the snot out of Sinclair so they can write him off. But I thought that was really cool. But yeah, definitely check that out. Listen, if you just want to hear the Ring of Honor stuff, I put the link in the show notes. It starts at the 43-minute mark. Yeah, Lily Garcia does a great job. And Ciampa, listen, he's very, very relatable in that episode. So I didn't thought I'd love him anymore. But, Will, I mean, this is kind of, listen, we lost Steen. But, I mean, but Steen had been in Ring of Honor before we got there. But, I mean, Ciampa had been in Ring of Honor for a little bit when we started. But we really kind of saw, obviously, his evolution. He's had so many classic matches. I mean, Ciampa and Roddy.
Ciampa. It's curious to see, too, how, like, there's so many people who are, like, they advertise, right, it's their farewell match. Like, Eddie Edwards, it was announced he was going to be leaving. Steen had a farewell tour.
Yeah.
All this, but it's like Jacobs just kind of out, like a house show.
Yeah.
This one, they don't announce Ciampa's out, but the crowd chants it. So it's like, oh, shit. So at this time, it must have been common knowledge that, like, at least for the Smarks, right, that Ciampa was out.
Yeah.
Brundo probably knew. Probably saw that on a message board.
It wasn't that long ago, Will. They had social media back in 2015.
I know. It's so weird to think about that. It's like the hotline, okay? It's like, oh, check out our Twitter. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the hotline stuff is. But, yeah, this is, I don't know. I mean, listen, I mean, the title of the episode is Thank You, Ciampa. And, you know, it would be cool if you ever listen to this. But, I mean, we appreciate you. I mean, it's been, Ciampa's growing with this podcast. You know, so I mean, because he started with Ring of Honor in 2011. You know, we started this podcast covering 2012.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a great match. I mean, it was a decent send-off. Listen, he does. I know it was just kind of weird because they do the thank you, Ciampa. He kills Todd Sinclair, but then he does the whole bow down thing. So, but he did it right. You know, I mean, obviously, but, you know, Triple H was good girl, Smokus. You punch him in the head. But yeah, I mean, Triple H really believes in him. You know, him and Gargano fought to stay in NXT because they gave him so much. But I mean, and Ciampa's really important in my wrestling because I started watching, you know, getting back into wrestling in that black and gold era of fucking NXT, man. And Ciampa, Gargano were just, I mean, huge parts of that. So, yeah, so thank you, Ciampa, before I get all emotional. Is that weird? Probably a little weird, but whatever.
So probably a little weird. But you eat frog's eye salad and really like olives, so.
I love frog eye salad, so me and my wife will make you frog eye salad, and you can.
It doesn't sound like it'd be gluten-free. It's got pasta in it, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. But they have gluten-free options at the Vanguard, Will. Just saying.
I'm down.
So. Well, Will, I know it's a little bit of a shorter episode. You know, this is very Ciampa heavy. Yeah, I mean, thank you, Ciampa. I mean, obviously he's still wrestling. I got to figure out, cause I guess, I mean, his wife's family has a restaurant here. I can't figure where it is though. So I may or may not include the clip of, that podcast in the episode, the part where he talks about Ring of Honor. I don't know if that's something I could do, without getting copyright stricken, but it's on YouTube. So I can't imagine I can't, but if not, just yeah, click on the YouTube link. It's a great episode. Yeah, all the Ring of Honor stuff's at 43 minutes. But yeah, thank you, High Fivers. So, Will, you got any final thoughts here?
No.
So, yeah, just dig in, everybody. Unless next week we just have another episode of TV, but Will and I'll be doing double shots for a couple weeks after that. So it's a good time. So shout out to the Four Pillars because New Japan's coming, Will.
It is. Cool. It is.
So sweet. All right. Well, High Fivers. We'll talk to everybody next week. But Will, I appreciate you. And we'll see everybody next week.
It wasn't like a coworker, which is an actual friend and stuff. So it took me a bit there. But yeah, I totally agree. Like you
had to shift that mindset too.
100%.
That the advice had to come from another wrestler.
Yep.
Which was very
or someone you. Like in the business and yeah.
Right. Yep. Right. So that very smart of you. But Ring of Honor, you mentioned something before we started the interview. I stopped you because I wanted to hear the story here.
Right.
I wanted all the fans to hear the story. I think it's very important. But you said that you put a timetable after.
Manage money as a family with the Venmo teen account, available for ages 13 to 17.
I'm done spending an obscene amount of money on takeout every week.
I'm getting back on track with Factor. Fresh, never frozen meals.
After Ring of Honor,
yeah.
That you would have, when you left wrestling, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, done. So I can't give you a year just because I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm in Ring of Honor about 4 years, and I was casted as Sicilian Psychopath there. And right from the get-go, the one thing that felt weird was I got signed based on a tryout where Jim Cornette saw me and Delirious Hunter Johnston, and they really liked my promo. Mm-hmm. So the match was fine, but the promo is what they were like, oh, man, okay. So I got signed, and then I got put in a group called The Embassy, and I had three managers, not one. Four, technically, I guess, because it was myself, R.D. Evans, Prince Nana, this guy Ernie Osiris, and Mia Yim. So Mia wasn't a manager. She was like the female wrestler.
Yeah.
But it was just I had a lot of mouthpieces, and I was very confused. For my first 2 years, I wasn't allowed to speak. And I was like, whoa, you guys hired me because of my promos. What the heck's going on? And the matches, I mean, I went 2 years where I bet you if someone had pulled up every match I had in Ring of Honor for 2 years, I probably had like five matches versus people contracted to Ring of Honor. It was always extras that they had brought in.
Yeah.
And I was doing these like enhancement squash matches, real short things. And I just remember like hitting a point where I was like, man, I'm not getting better here, because like I would be begging, be like, oh, let me work with Generico and Chris Hero and Claudio and all, and I just never got to do it. And it was so frustrating. So then finally I did hit a point where I was catching a little momentum, but then I tore an ACL. It's like kind of like story of my career, I keep getting injured, but I tore an ACL.
Oh, I've been through that pain.
Awful that rehab.
Yeah, awful.
Came back from that and really started to pick up momentum, but I just felt like I was like hitting this imaginary ceiling where I was like, man, I felt, and I might've been wrong, but I was like, because the psychopath character, I felt like it was too distant from me. And it wasn't like, I couldn't humanize it enough for that fan base. Like the Ring of Honor fan base is so like, they're so real and so true. And it's very, like it's the NXT fan base, you know, it's the same fan base. It's like, you just can't feed them crap.
Yeah.
You gotta be raw with them. If you're not raw with them, they'll see through it and they're not gonna buy in. And that's where I felt like I was like, oh man, they're not buying in. And I kept asking for different things. Like, can we switch this? Can we get rid of the nickname? And I know it's like little stuff, but it just, to me, it was like, these are meaningful, purposeful things we need to do. And finally, we hit a point where I was gonna have a main event title match for a pay-per-view, which I'd never done for them. It was gonna be me and Jay Briscoe. And we had this one trial run kinda in England, and it went incredibly well. And the feedback was awesome. And then all of a sudden, over the next month or two, we're getting ready for the Las Vegas pay-per-view, and it switched to a four-way. And the reason it switched to a four-way is because people in the office didn't have faith that I could sell a pay-per-view. And it was like disheartening.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it was one of the, especially because the match went so well, and me and Jay Briscoe play off each other well. Like I felt like oh, they could run 6 months with us.
Yeah.
Because he can talk and I can talk, and we're both like kind of. I mean, we just play the prototypical like guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is a dude, and he's coming to fight. Like this isn't and there's nothing wrong with the MMA style or whatever, but we both played that like. Man, he'll fight you in a bar, he'll fight you in the street, he'll fight you in a ring, he'll fight you anywhere. It just felt like we just meshed. And all of a sudden it became this four-way, and then I find out why it becomes a four-way, and then I was like, oh, that's rough. And my contract's coming up, and we're negotiating, and at this time, Ring of Honor's just started giving out, we were on Sinclair TV, and they just started giving out, like, deals where you can make a living and be exclusive and you had a salary and all that.
Okay.
So of course I was like, oh crap, this is great. I'm working at a gym at the time doing really well, but I'm thinking, oh, this might be the break in wrestling where I don't have to have a job anymore.
Yeah.
And it becomes like the offer that I got was just awful. I mean, it was an extremely low downside salary. Not exclusive. I couldn't do television anywhere. I couldn't work for like WWE or Impact. But I could take independent bookings. But the number was something that like I couldn't. I'd have to keep doing my job and all that. And I just remember going to the negotiation with them and just saying like, listen, I'll sign 5 years. I'll sign 10 years. I'll make my career right here in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys show me that you're looking to invest in me the way I'll invest in right. you. And the conversation, I thought, like, it was going well, and then it just took this real hard turn. And then there was this one moment where I remember talking with the owner at the time, still the owner, I guess, Joe Koff, and it was just the two of us. It was in person. It was the first time we really had the in-person negotiator. And I told him, like, this is how I feel. And he was like, listen, you're not going to get no one's going to offer you more than $20,000. He's like, that's like,
oh my
and Lord. I just remember just freezing and just going, oh, I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, I didn't realize this is, like, you thought that of me. Right. I was like, and I felt like I was, it was like this demeanor, like this, like, it was like light bulb friendly, relaxed to me. I was like, oh, hey, we don't have to do this anymore. My contract's coming up and I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else and find out if you're right or not. And he's immediately, no, I didn't mean it. Like, it's cool. It's like, no. I'm not mad at you. I was like, I don't even care. I was like, I think I cared until that was said. I was like, I don't care anymore. I was like, it's cool. I was like, I just didn't understand that was, you guys just viewed me as like, my ceiling was not even yeah. above that mid card. So I was like, it's fine. And I went to Hunter that day because he was, you know, we were on the road somewhere, yeah. Delirious. And I just said, oh, hey, just so you know, I discussed stuff with Joe and I'm wrapped up. I'll finish my dates. I think WrestleMania weekend, wherever, was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that'll be my last one and I'm done. And when that was like official and I went home, I just remember thinking, crap, I probably want to keep the narrative in my control. And I actually looked up Samoa Joe. I forget where he left. I think he left Impact okay. not long before that, like okay. 6 months to a year before that. And I backtracked his tweets to see what he had said when he left. And I almost verbatim copied it because I always viewed him as a very good professional, how he carried
yeah.
And it was just one of those like, hey, I just want to announce to everybody that on such and such date, I'm going to be parting ways with Ring of Honor. I want to thank the staff, this, and that was it. And I'm so happy I did it because they ended up being forced almost into giving me like a send-off in the sense just that at least the fans knew. And they were just going to have me, and I still did it, but I was going to have a match with Jay Lethal, beat up the official afterwards, and then be like thrown out of the company. And it would have really muddled if it was yeah. a storyline or real. So I was like, thank God I put that out, because I put it out a month before that. So there was no question marks.
Yeah.
And then everyone understood, oh, they're doing this to give an on-screen reason why he's gone.
Yeah.
And the last, my final match was with Jay Lethal, and he's one of my favorite people to wrestle. It was yeah. great. I loved it. I got to do the official thing with Todd Sinclair, as far as he was the guy that I beat up when I got mm-hmm. thrown out and all that. But it was just that moment of just like, oh, crap. Like, when I left there, that's what I meant when I was like, I felt like I was on the cusp. I was like, when I left there, it was like, okay, what's the next step? And my wife and I were talking, and that gym that I was working at was doing so well, and I was the manager at it, and I was making good money, getting monthly bonuses and stuff. And it was just one of those, we wanted to start a family soon and getting married, buy a house, the whole thing. I was like, hey, so I like, we gotta think now for us and the future and everything. And I was like, if I leave this job and go all in on wrestling, then we're going to be in a spot where it's like, if I don't make wrestling, I left a really good job and mm-hmm. like crap. I was like, or if I leave wrestling and go all in on the job, like, is this something we want to do? And we had a long discussion, like many, and we finally hit the point where I was like, okay, listen, let's timestamp this. Like, one more year of this balancing the two, because it was exhausting.
I bet.
I was opening that gym, getting up at 4 a.m., living in Boston, so snow and all that
wow.
crap. 4 a.m. shoveling cars off, getting to work. Sometimes I'd work the 5 to 12 shift. I'd have like a 3-hour break. I'd work 3 to 8:30 because I was trying to crunch my hours in my Monday through Thursday as best as I could. Sometimes even working a morning Friday to fly to a show.
Okay.
Then doing shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Got it.
Getting back, you know, late Sunday night or sometimes Monday morning going straight to work. It was wow. just exhausting. So I was like, I think I could do this for like another year. And I was like, if nothing breaks in a year, then, you know, something's yeah. gonna change. So we made that agreement. And I think so I leave them Mania time, so April. And I catch a break with Progress Wrestling, who's going to do this tournament in May. and they bring me over for it, and they give me Zack Sabre Jr. And the match, like, was one of those where so you walked away from it and you were like, whoa, something just happened. And it did, because I started getting booked overseas consistently.
Oh, wow.
Between Progress and others that saw the match and heard about the match. And while that's happening, AAW brings me into Chicago, and the discussion I had with them was simple, same as the Progress. I was like, listen, just don't put me in a character storyline, and just please just give me a string of good opponents.
Yeah.
The guys that I wanted to wrestle in Ring of Honor that I wasn't able to. And AAW brings me, like, it was like Davey Richards and Michael Elgin and Johnny Gargano was our first time wrestling, I think, or second time wrestling, first time in the States. But it was just a string of Tommy and Aleister Black. They're both happening at the same time. So I'm in Progress and in England and overseas. I'm taking off. Chicago, I'm taking off. And it's so fast that in a matter of, like, the first tours in May, it goes so well. I have another tour, I think, coming in, like, July, maybe. And I instantly get put in this position of, like, oh,
this is the beginning of the end right here. Oh, no. Jay Triller.
Reach for the sky, boy.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We miss you, Jay.